Appreciate everyone that showed up again this evening, and we'll try to do our best to edify each and every one, and hope the lesson is pleasing to God. This evening I'm talking about, I've actually entitled it, Go Teach. This is more of a traditional sermon as opposed to the one this morning. It's based upon the Mark 16:15, also Matthew 28:19. And Mark says, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And he that believeth on it shall not perish, but have everlasting life. And he that believeth not shall be damned, Mark 16:15-16. In the last chapter in Matthew, Matthew 28:19-20, Matthew's account reads, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever command you, and lo, I am with you always to the end of the world. Almost 2,000 years ago, our Lord gave a charge to just a handful of disciples to go teach the world. Now, I'm sure he didn't intend that just a dozen people could teach the entire world. He based it upon what we would like to call a chain reaction. They teach you, and you teach somebody else, and you teach somebody else. These apostles were told to go teach and baptize, teach and baptize to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And I sincerely believe that the Bible means for everybody to be teaching the gospel. We, you and I feel are commanded to teach the gospel also. No, we can't all be preachers. But we can teach the gospel. Jesus said, go preach the gospel. But Paul said in 1 Corinthians 9:16, woe is to me if I preach not the gospel. So we stand between go on one side and woe on the other. And it has to be one or the other. Many people believe strongly in the last part of the Great Commission, which says, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. But there's too many people that don't obey the first part of the Great Commission. Go teach others. You know, if they did, this world would be at a lot better place. You know, in order for anyone to obey the last part of the Great Commission, it is of necessity that we go teach. Romans 10:14, how shall they believe of whom they have not heard? We, you and I, have to have some individual soul winning. I believe that each and every one of us needs to go teach. Now, I don't mean, as I said before, we can all become preachers. We can't. But we can at least let people know where we stand. People that know us should know that we stand for the Lord, and that we are Christians. You know, I'm reminded of a story here about a little gray-haired lady in the South. During the war, the Yankees come marching in town, and Granny grabbed her broom and started out to the door. And her son said, son, come back here. Granny, come back here. What do you think you can do with that broom? She says, at least I can show them whose side I'm on. So we have to be kind of like Granny. We've got to show them whose side we're on. In Hebrews 5:12, it says, ye ought to be teachers. These words should always ring in our ears. You ought to be teachers. You know, taking the gospel to others is twice blessed. It blesses those who hear it. It blesses those who take it. Christ died for sinners. And I believe that he wants all of us to teach others and be partnerships with him. You know, no partnership with Christ ever went bankrupt. We dream of preaching the gospel to every creature, but the first thing to do when we dream of this is to wake up and do something about it. We also must pray that our Heavenly Father will guide us and pray that He gives us strength. I have another story here. A man lived across the street from a beer joint. Every night he'd pray that something would happen to that beer joint. Every night he went to sleep, nothing happened. So one day he was discussing this with his color cleaning lady. He said, "You know, for months I've prayed that something would happen to that beer joint, and it hadn't." She says, "Well, so it's like this. Tonight we'll pray together." And they did. So he saw the color. Next morning when he woke up, the beer joint burned to the ground. So he saw the color cleaning lady a few days later, and he said, "You know, it's amazing. The first time that we prayed together, something did happen." She says, "Well, so it's like this. You pray, you go to bed, you go to sleep. When I pray, I do something about it." So I'm not saying go burn the beer joint down, but at least we've got to do what we can about it. Sometimes the Lord needs our help, even if we pray. What do you think the dead would say if they could come back? Then tell us to go teach. We have just an example like that in Luke 16, 19 through 30. Or 31. You remember the story. It's the story of the rich man and Lazarus. The rich man died and went to torment. And Lazarus died and went to Abraham's bosom. The rich man wanted Abraham to send Lazarus back to teach his brothers. He could remember back home he had some brothers that needed to be taught. Of course, Abraham said, "Well, they have the prophets, let them hear them." But he begged and begged that somebody send Lazarus back. I think personally teaching is one of the most effective ways of teaching the gospel. And I'd like to think of what would happen if every one of us would save one soul a year for Christ, and those that we save in turn would save another soul. We had 50 members here in Granby Church that could win one soul for Christ. At the end of the year, we'd have 100. End of 2 years, we'd have 200. The end of the 10th year, it'd be about the population of Newton County, about 51,000. But the end of the 16th year, it's up to 3 million. Just doing what the Lord wants us to do anyway. Another reason that this personally teaching the gospel is so fruitful is because the lesson can be suited to fit the individual. Now, what I'm saying tonight might fit one or two people in here, but not anyone else. You can fit your lesson to suit whoever you're talking to. How many times, and I've said this over and over again with Brother Brobate teaching, how many times have you said, "Why hasn't somebody told me this before? Or why hasn't somebody explained it like this before?" See, personally teaching, you can do this. And you can't do it from the pulpit, hardly ever. You know, another reason for personal evangelism is the power of personal contact. You know, these large companies that we have in the United States, they realize this. They send out their representative or salesman to contact the trade. You know, when we think of evangelism, I think probably too often we think of the man across the ocean instead of the man across the street, when we should be thinking of both. Jesus did a lot of personal teaching himself. God sent His representative, His Son, to do some personal work. You know that our Lord, while walking along the sea, saw Peter and Andrew casting a net in the sea, for they were fishers, Matthew 4 and 18. Jesus called them, and they quit fishing. for fish and started fishing for men. James and John quit mending the nets to help Jesus. Matthew quit collecting taxes to help Jesus. And some of Christ's most popular sermons were taught to just one or more people, one or just a few people. I can think offhand of Nicodemus and the woman at the Samaritan woman at Jacob's well. And the disciples, the early disciples, did a lot of personal work. When Andrew learned of the Lord, he first found his brother Simon and said to him, "We have found the Messiah," which is being interpreted the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus, John 1:41 and 42. You remember Philip. After Philip learned about Jesus, he went to find Nathanael and brought him to the Savior, John 1:43 and 40-45. And in Acts 8, the members of the church in Jerusalem were so fired up after the day of Pentecost that they scattered everywhere, preaching the word. You remember Philip. Philip was called away from the multitude to go preach to one person, and that was the Ethiopian eunuch. We all know what happened. He was baptized and went on his way rejoicing. All through the New Testament, we have examples of personal evangelism, and you and I as Christians can do the same thing. Some may ask, well, now how can I do that? Well, one way is to preach or teach the gospel from house to house. And because Paul did this, he said, "I have taught you publicly and from house to house," Acts 20 and 20. You did this to a certain extent in what we call cottage preaching. Some congregation has that. And this so-called cottage preaching, you remember, led to Cornelius and his family in Acts 10. Another way, probably something that we can all do, is like in Matthew 9:9-10, invite prospects into the house like Matthew did. You remember he invited to dinner sinners and publicans and to dine with Jesus. Or we can do like Aquila and Priscilla that took Apollos aside and expounded him the word of God, Acts 18. The question is, do you ever, in your association with your fellow workers or people you come in contact with, let them know that you are interested in their soul? Sometimes we let that kind of slip by, don't we? I say we, I'm included. Another way, of course, is any organized program the church may have. I know there's some churches that have a committee that goes, and every time there's a new person come to town, I guess they get it from the city hall, go and invite them. We can just invite whoever we can possible to come. And I think this church is good in sending cards or calling the people who are a little bit lax in attendance or people that are sick. It's good to go visit somebody that's sick. I heard somebody today talking about visiting Brother John. That's great. That's great. Now, by calling on the sick, I don't mean that you go over there after church and visit a little while and your Sunday best and say, "Now, if there's anything I can do, just call." Oh, no, that's not what I mean. I mean, you go there prepared. Prepared to wash the clothes, wash the dishes, clean the house, mow the lawn, change the diapers, anything they'll need. Go to the store for them. Brother Lynn told an excellent story last week about this, going to the store for somebody. That is what I mean by being an example of a Christian. Help others that need help. You know, someone once said, when the mouth never speaks any gospel, there's proof there's not much gospel in the heart. I want to say Brother Winkler gave me this thought. I copied it down and I didn't put down who did it, but it sounds like him. So many people have too much religion to give it up entirely, but not enough to do things for Jesus. They have just enough religion to make them miserable and not enough to make them happy. Think about it. Just enough religion to make them miserable and not enough to make them happy. Another reason about winning souls is some people say, well, I really don't know enough about the Bible. Well, there's two things wrong there. First of all, they haven't studied. Second, they've failed to take it to someone else. And a lot of people are overcautious, maybe afraid is another word for it, fear of doing something wrong. In Ecclesiastes 11 and 14 we read, "He that observeth the wind shall not sow. He that regardeth the clouds shall not weep, or not reap." You know, overcaution will leave the fields unsown in the springtime and unharvested in the fall. But the gospel fields is the same way. They're unsown and unharvested. I think we should remember that tact is good, but contact is better. In St. Louis, there's a memorial for the Korean War dead. It's a clock, I think around 30 feet in diameter, sitting up off the ground 2 or 3 feet. It's a lot like the clock down at Big Spring Park there in Neosho. And at the base of this has a big sign that says, "Hours and flowers soon fade away." That's so true. You know, only that which is eternal, the soul, is going to survive time. In Ecclesiastes 12 and 7 we read, "Then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return to God who gave it." And this I think I got from Don Deffenbaugh. What I spent, I had. What I saved, I lost. What I gave, I have. What I give in time, money, enthusiasm, labor, tears, whatever, in the salvation of souls, that is ours alone. And we'll never lose that. It's ours forever. Everything else is going to fade away. This old body and this old world is going to fade away someday. Just the winning of souls is everything, is going to be the only thing that's going to last. You know, our Lord pleads with those that are lost to come to Him. We're asking you now that if you need to respond to the invitation in any way, whether it be to be baptized and become a Christian, or whether you want the prayers of the congregation, won't you come as together we sing this invitation song?